Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note,
a podcast where every episode we chat about life and what's stumping us right now.
And then we research and splice in all the science and mind-blowing shiznit throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning. Today we are talking about astrology, which is a hot button topic here at the ASAP Science Office and probably where you are as well. It's very popular right now. Mitch is going to tell a story to begin with about a time when he got very intoxicated and went to a psychic alone. And then I am going to tell a time about when I became a palm reader for a short period of time and actually changed people's lives. In the end, we're going to have a debate about astrology. Mitch thinks that astrology is a bad thing. I think that astrology is not a bad thing. And of course, throughout, the science will be spliced in. And we're off.
Well, no, we're on. We're on air. How's it going?
Good. On air. Where does that come from?
Radio.
Like the air.
Over
airwaves.
The air. Yeah.
How are you feeling? Because we've been flying so much, and usually you hurt your back.
It. Yeah, I did. I woke up with a sore back. I feel like the beginning of this podcast is just me complaining about my ailments. I have a bad back, and flying is not great for it. So yeah, just like sitting for like 6 hours twice.
Our carbon footprint has been big.
I know. We need to figure out a way to improve that.
Not fly.
Not like work less. I can deal with that.
We were just in Silicon Valley, which was so interesting because it was so weird. I think it's like everything that people think about. There was lots of men in jeans.
Yeah. White tees and jeans.
And also it's like there's no skyscrapers. It's just like, it's weird. It didn't seem like it was much, but I'm like, this is like the hub of like industry
like
and economy.
All the money in the world, yeah.
It was so weird. But we were at this thing called the Breakthrough Prize, which was really cool.
Yeah,
it was
the Oscars of science.
Plug.
Yeah, it was good. If you want to watch our live stream of the red carpet, you can find it on YouTube or like we would have.
We were Ryan Seacresting it up with scientists. It was pretty cool. Yeah. And like celebrities. There was lots of celebrities there. They flew the celebrities in on a private jet, speaking of like carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. In order to be at this event, and they would land them in the private jet right beside the event. Like the event
Which
was
NASA.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was NASA's Ames or whatever, but they'd strategically made a runway close by so they could fly these celebrities.
Just, like, walk off and then walk back on.
Yeah, after. It was. That's the lifestyles of the rich and the famous.
Comment Corner.
So we've been reading all your comments on Twitter, and we were thinking a really good way to get in touch with us is to, if you are listening to this podcast, screen grab it. I just did it with my hands the way you do on an iPhone. Press the circle and the power button. Screen grab you listening to our podcast. Tag us on Instagram in your stories, and then we'll repost it on our own Instagram or on ASAP Science.
I have to admit, I do not know how to do that, but you're going to teach me. I have never reshared someone's story, but I want to know how.
Well,
I don't
it's
know
like,
how.
Can you on Android?
Exactly.
No,
like,
you can't.
I don't
want
to make promises. Greg will because he has an iPhone. I have an Android. But I'd love it. I'd love to see it either way. Even if it's not just a screen grab, you could put something on your story that's about Side Note and we'll watch it and hopefully we'll be able to repost
you're
it.
You're so interesting. Like, you're so into technology, but then in some ways you're like just
I
like,
just don't love social media.
You're over 30. That's
Yeah. Since last year, I just stopped.
Yeah, you woke up on your 30th birthday and was like, how does one use a phone? So this comment is from The Dictator on Twitter. I don't know if that. And it's spelled
like D-I-C-K-tator?
Or it's actually D-I-K-T-A-T-O-R. I don't know if it's. At Euchre D. This is so funny. I think it actually is Euchre Red, but I saw Euchre because I'm an avid player of the card game.
Okay.
What's Trump? Not
no,
my
or Euchred.
Oh, Euchred. Again, is that how you spell maybe euchre? He's really good at playing euchre. Okay, so this says at Whale Watch Me PLZ, which is me. It said, I loved listening to you on today's podcast. By today, he means last week. I am internally screaming yes, not yas. So he's probably straight. To your argument on calling out and standing up for victims who can't speak for themselves at the time they're being discriminated against. You are so well spoken. Thank you. And am I well spoken? Like, I'll take
you are,
it.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to stuff like you are educated on those issues and you care about them. Aww. So you are well spoken when it comes to that.
I feel
lots of times you aren't though, girl.
Yeah. I feel insane every time I open my mouth. So that was like, I don't know. It was a nice comment. That was a nice comment.
Yeah. It's nice to hear. Where's my nice comment, Greg?
I don't know. I'm
kidding. I get lots of lovely comments. I just don't brag about them on the podcast.
What? You told me.
I'm joking. I told Greg to read that comment.
Okay. You are. I can't tell if this is going to be a tough episode. You're feeling sassy.
Today.
Earlier in a thing that was edited out, he was like, what's your problem? Or what did you say?
Is there a problem?
Is there a problem? And I was like, are you a cop? I was scared. Okay.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Okay, so what I learned this week was about someone who we met at the Breakthrough Prize named Jocelyn Bell Burnell.
Queen
of science. So she discovered something called pulsars in the 60s. This is a long time ago.
It was exactly 50 years ago.
Which is incredible. And it showed her, and she built this amazing telescope that was huge, the size of 57 tennis courts, in order to look using radio waves into the sky, into the universe. And she discovered, by looking at pictures, what we now know of as pulsars, which are really, really, like, dense. It's after a star dies, what's left over is this, like, really, really dense white matter or star, and they kind of show up. What is it? It's, like,
is
spinning.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I only knew the part that it was, like, a rotating star that gives off a certain kind of...
Yeah, so I think it's still defined as a star. It is rotating, but, yeah, it's after, like, it's, like, say our sun exploded. It's, like, part of what would be, like, left over.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's so dense, she said, that it's only a 10 kilometers in radius, these things in the universe. They're really small, but if you took every single human on this planet and shoved them together... they would fit in a thimble of the density of how did that make sense?
Yeah, like, yeah, the density like of every the wrong way. Person on Earth in the size of a thimble is the density of those stars.
And they
are spread across, not spread across, but times the distance that they are.
Yeah, yeah. So
the size.
Right? That makes sense.
Well, to okay, me, but...
okay. They're really dense, okay?
That's and like all you need to know.
In a physical way, they are not stupid, okay? And, yeah, so she discovered them, and she was working under people... at the time, two men of its science, its history, here we go. And those two men got awarded the Nobel Prize for this discovery. Mm-hmm. And so 50 years later, she was getting this breakthrough award to sort of like, you know, give her the credit where it is due. She's been a physicist for so long since then. She's had such an amazing impact. And she was also, it's funny, she was the female version of being knighted, and she made a joke. She's like, what is that? She's like, being damed, being damned.
Like
yeah. Men get knighted and women get like damned.
Like, she is a dame, isn't
yeah.
it? She is, but then she didn't know like the adjective. She's like, am I damned?
Yeah. Like Dame Judi Dench, for instance.
And you know what she's doing with her $3 million she wins for that prize? Giving it away to literally try to spur on diversity in science, especially
yeah, she's gonna,
for women and minorities.
Yeah, she's going to actually donate it as scholarships to help. Also, she was saying really focus on allowing refugees to get money to study in the UK because there's so many intelligent refugees who come to diverse countries around the world who don't get to actually work in the field that they're in. And something like science thrives on intelligent people. Mm-hmm. And if you just like stunt them because of logistics and bureaucracy, science won't thrive. So anyways, she is a queen.
Beautiful.
Jocelyn Bell Burnell. Look her up. Read her Wikipedia page. It's kind of the most amazing thing.
Mine is not nearly as inspiring, but it's still exciting. Now, we all know that the ozone layer having a hole in it was a thing, but they just said... we know it's healing, but yeah. They think by 2030, the Northern Hemisphere might be like fully recovered.
Wow.
And then by 2060, the Antarctica might be fully recovered as well.
Wait, the hole, there's a hole in Antarctica?
Well, I think the hole is big enough that it like covers. I actually don't understand. Cut that part out.
Don't cut it out. We can. What do you mean? Like,
I just
meant
I only read that 2030 was for the Northern Hemisphere and 2060 was for Antarctica. But yeah, so it was just there was a big hole there caused by CFCs, which are called chlorofluorocarbons.
Yeah, from our old fridges.
Yeah, from like spray cans and foam insulation and stuff like that. So positive news, and it was the UN came out with a report that was like, this is a good example of countries
coming
actually
together.
Working together. And what global initiatives can do.
I remember that. I remember my parents were making a point to not buy the whipped cream with the because of CFCs whenever that started to become a thing in like the 90s. And they'd buy like, I didn't even know people knew you could do this. You can buy whipped cream in like a margarine container. And that's still what my parents do. And whenever they would do it as a kid, I'd be like, that's no fun. Like, you guys are no fun. But now I'm like, okay, the ozone layer's like clearing up. That's kind of cool.
You're like, can we get the cans back?
No. Yeah, no.
Story time.
Story time.
Story time.
Story time.
Today, we are talking about astrology. And we've got lots to talk about. It's an interesting
topic. Oh my God, I'm so scared of you.
Because Greg will be debating for astrology. And I'm okay. But we'll get there.
Okay,
we'll get
okay,
there.
Okay.
My story, okay, I don't have a specific story related to astrology, but I feel like it's in the same realm as, like, all fake stuff, which includes, like, psychics and mysticism.
Okay, yeah.
So I just have this memory. I'm sorry for the shade. There's going to be a lot of shade on this episode. I had a night out in Toronto. I think I was probably, like, early 20s, and I remember, like, partying, getting drunk, and having fun. I don't remember.
This was not early 20s. If this is what you're talking about, when this is not that long ago. Anyways, continue.
I don't even know what you're referencing.
It was, like, 3 years ago. Anyways, keep going.
I don't think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh.
So, wasted, stumbling home. For some reason, I'm alone. I don't even know if
Mick,
I was with...
Yes, this was, like, 3 years ago.
No, it was not, Gregory.
Okay, fine. Continue.
What story are you talking about?
Do you go to a psychic drunk?
Yes!
Yes, I was not that
You're
long.
Insane. This is, like, maybe... 8 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Because I think we went to the lab, and this is where I'm coming home from. I live at Palmerston. That's where I'm walking.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Give away his address.
No, I don't
Palmerston.
Live there anymore.
I'm
so anyway, I'm walking home. Okay. This story is too long.
No.
I am drunk enough, and, like, okay, I've always grown up in a family that, like, believes in psychics and stuff, and so, like, I've kind of been into that throughout my life, even though I know it's, like, kind of fake, but, like, it kind of makes me excited. And so I see this one on College Street in Toronto that's, like, at 2 a.m. open, and it's just, like, psychics and Palmerston. Readings, and it, like, looked nice and cool. There was, like, a crystal ball and a chair in the window. Like, it was such a nice setup. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do this. It was like $10 or $20 or something, and I was drunk enough that I was like, this is my late night food. Instead of that, I'm gonna have a psychic reading. So then I bought. Why are you looking at me like that?
No, I'm literally just laughing. Oh my God. You are ready to attack. Like, I am gonna lose this debate. I'm so scared.
Okay, so I walk in. And didn't know this, but I, like, walked into somebody's apartment. So the thing in the window was, like, not the thing I walked into. I opened the door, and there's just literally two people sitting on a couch watching TV. And I was like, and then they were like, Susan! And I was, like, standing there for maybe, like, 2 to 3 whole minutes while they scream for Susan.
And you didn't think about leaving, or you're just drunk?
Well, I've already walked into their home and I'm standing there, and clearly they're calling someone. Like, I've come in, now she's gonna, I have to wait for her to come up.
Like, how drunk are you?
Like, drunk enough. Like, it's 2 a.m. Like, I'm drunk, but I'm not, like, I remember the story, so I'm not, like, so wasted, but I'm like, it's too awkward for me to leave now.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, just kind of weird, and I didn't know where I was, but I was like, okay, they're yelling for this lady.
Susan, okay.
It might have been a different name. Okay. I obviously don't remember that fact, but Susan finally comes up after I'm, like, standing there for minutes awkwardly watching these people.
What was she wearing? Like, is she, like, looking like
a little, yeah,
psychic?
She's, like, in, like, a little mystic outfit, but nothing, like, too crazy. She wasn't in, like, jeans and a t-shirt. She was in, like, a flowy kind of, like,
dress. She was ready for the 2 a.m. drop-in.
I guess. I mean, her light was on saying, come on in. So she finally, like, comes over and pulls me into that front window room, which I didn't realize was kind of like a separate room. Like, it tricks you.
Wait, so people walking by can watch you from the street?
Yes. I don't remember. Maybe she, like, closed a little bit of the curtains when I was in there. Like, they were, like, light. You know, curtains that light can come through, but, like, you can't really see. So I sit down with her, Susan, and basically she's like, do you have money?
Oh, my, like, God.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Fair. I'm sure lots of drunk people come here and just, like, get you to do the job and then run. Like, I got to pay you first.
Do you have money? She's a psychic. She should know.
True. It's like, yeah, strike one, lady. Why didn't you know?
She's like, I got my wallet on me.
I gave her the 20. And then she just, like, takes my hand and starts, like, tickling my palm and is like, ooh, you have a very bright future. I see lots of good things for you. Yes, very positive. I swear to God, did not give me 1 ounce of detail. Was just, like, saying nice things. Like, anyone could have said this to me. She was just like,
so you didn't have an aha moment?
No! She was like, oh, you're very brave. You will have
you are
lots
brave.
Of lots of things happening in
you
your
do.
Life.
You do.
Okay, maybe. Okay, dead on. Dead accurate. And then eventually, like, I swear, 2 minutes go by and she's just like, thank you.
How much?
It was like $20.
That's more than a poutine.
Yeah, exactly. And a poutine lasts you longer than 2 minutes. It might have been 10 minutes. I don't
You woke
remember.
Up with less gut rot.
But she literally then was just like, okay, do you want another one?
Another
like,
what? Palm
like to
reading?
Do it again.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my God.
And I was like, will you get a different answer this time?
You're still brave.
So then I awkwardly walked back into someone's living room, watched them, you know, put my shoes on while they were watching TV, and left and walked home drunk.
Mitch's story really got me thinking about the actual business model of psychics. Because, like, how do they keep the lights on? It feels like when I walk down the street, I see a lot of psychics in expensive cities like Toronto or even New York. One thing to think about is that psychics are recession-proof. During the 2009 financial crisis, psychics' earnings increased exponentially, with more seeking advice during times of stress. So obviously, when the world is in chaos, psychics are an interesting place where people go to find refuge. In general, the psychic services industry is thriving. I love that it's called the psychic services industry, because that's what it is, and it sounds official. It has grown 2.2% from 2009 to 2014, and it's expected to keep growing by another 3% in the next 4 years. Who knows what this is from? I mean, I recently saw one of the Kardashians, I always screw up their last name, like on that psychic, the world famous psychic show. Oh my God, it's on E. People are going to be mad. They don't know what it is. But there's a popular culture trend right now around psychics that's going to help business. And astrology, mediumship, palmistry, reading someone's palms, is a $1.9 billion industry. So I don't know. We all have our university degrees. We're not using them. Maybe we should all become psychics. But still, I'm like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of money around it, but how? And so if you think about Toronto, where we are, the six is what Drake calls it. But I probably shouldn't because it's embarrassing. Okay, in Toronto, two journalists ran an expose of fortune tellers whose clients claimed that these, like, GTA, that means Greater Toronto Area, psychics had defrauded them out of tons of money. So these reporters went in with hidden cameras and fake stories like, I broke up with my girlfriend and I want to get her back. And after their $40, like, normal tarot card reading was over, the psychic suggested that for $1,200, they could remove the curse and bring his ex back to him or to her. Essentially, they were saying that for $1,200, they would get, like, herbs and oils and then professionally, like, use spirits to remove a curse, and then you'd get back together with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And people did this. People paid thousands of dollars to literally be guaranteed that they would, like, through spirits and curses, get back together with their boyfriends and girlfriends. And obviously, this did not work, but the psychics had the money. This is an example of psychics ripping people off, and not all psychics are like that. And I want to tell you about another business model for psychics. Okay, let's try something. Close your eyes. Visualize the type of person who frequently visits a psychic. Who do you picture, right? Who is that person? Who's that a psychic? Are they wacko? What are they like? Were they by any chance a Fortune 500 company CEO? Maybe not, but it turns out CEOs love a psychic, okay? Psychics are big in the world of business, where the money is. This is a good crossover for them. The biggest realtor in Toronto is named Jillian Oxley, and she makes about $100 million a year in sales, and she consults an intuitive counselor named Colette Baron-Reed. Colette charges $800 an hour and $10,000 for a full day of her time. There's also a financial psychic named Laura Day who consults CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and was dubbed the Psychic of Wall Street. She warned her clients to pull out of the market a full year before the recession. And even the late Steve Jobs had a Zen master to act as a corporate spiritual advisor. And if you watch the show Silicon Valley, there's a character in that as well. There's obviously a market for these psychics, and they're making money and they're recession-proof. So when your family goes to psychics, because they still do, you just don't go. You don't participate.
Well, see, I get disillusioned sometimes. I get, like, swayed sometimes because I've, like, some people in my family will tell me about the, like, amazing experiences they've had. And I'm like, well, was that just a bad
also,
psychic?
Like, your sister's, like, on YouTube. I'm like, she's Googleable. That's what I always think. I'm like, the psychic could just Google.
Oh, literally, yeah. But she told me that one time she just didn't tell them any of her name or anything when they booked the appointment. So you never know.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in it. Anyway, what is your story?
Okay, so astrology. So interesting. I think I might, oh my God, last minute switch my story up a little bit. Yeah, because you reminded me of something. So I used to work at a camp called Bayview Glen. Plug, they're not sponsoring this. Imagine this is sponsored by a day camp. And so it was a day camp where I worked for a summer. And I remember they made me teach gymnastics, which was weird because I've never taught gymnastics. But the kids were so young that it was really actually fun. And at one point I had to teach dance, which I also didn't have any experience with. But
are you sure they weren't just like, you're gay, you can teach dance,
always,
right?
Yes. I also went to another camp where I was literally good at kayaking. Like, I'm not going to brag, but like, I'm really good at kayaking. And they literally would be like, you're ahead of arts and crafts. I'm like, are you serious? I've literally never made a craft in my life. I'm like, okay. And these kids would like be burning themselves on candles. I'm like, I don't know how to do this, but okay. Anyways, moving on. Oh yeah. Also at that other camp where I taught gymnastics, they made me teach dance again, homophobic. But what I did for that class or that course is when they'd come, I turned all the lights off, arts and crafts. So they had to make fake IDs and they would come into the club and I'd like blast music and all these kids would dance like on tables and I'd give them water as like drinks and they'd like party. And it went over really well. I got like a smoke machine and like everyone was like, he's a really good camp counselor. I'm like, we're literally just pretending we're partying. Anyways.
That's really fun. I wish I did that as a kid.
Yeah, so there was like a fair day or something, and I had to figure out a booth, and I was so hungover, and I was like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to palm read. And so I like...
Wait, you just spur of the moment were like...
Well, it's a camp.
I'm going to palm read.
It's a camp. It's like, today. I was like, what can I do? I'm so hungover. I don't want to move. I don't want to like try and figure out materials.
I'm going to palm read.
So I like put a table and like literally like a blanket over the table so they'd have to come in under this table so it was dark. And my friend Brian, who literally also does not care about like this camp at all, was like, can I palm read too? I'm like, fine. So these kids and counselors would come in and I would like, I'd be like, okay, this line is like your lifeline and this line is your wealth line. And like, I just kind of made up the lines a little bit.
Okay.
And I would just go for it. Like, I would just be like, Red. You, no, like, I'd be like, you, for the kids, whatever, but for the people who were tweens, I'd be like, you must like have a weird school life this year. Like, were you bullied? And they'd be like, I was bullied. Like, it literally, like, they would, like, start, like tearing up sometimes. And then it became, like, known around the camp that I was, like, palm reading really well.
Oh,
and people started to, like, line
God.
Up for my little thing. And it kind of made me realize, like, this is actually, like, BS. Like, I have no, I did, like, I'm literally making this up. And there is some way that people
you started
are
a cult.
Spinning it.
There's yeah. literally, like, 30 kids in Toronto who the course of their life has been defined by what you told them. They were like, but my palm reader said that I should follow the finance because my line was really long for finance, and now they're frigging.
And I was like, again, I didn't care that much about this job, and the lifeline one, I'd be like, oh, honey, you got till 30. Like, I'd be like, you're going to die young, and they'd be like, oh my God, really? And I'd be like, yeah, you might want to, like, go to Mount Everest base camp sooner than you think. Like,
that is so awful.
But I just really hope that they knew I was kidding because I was kind of like really playing.
That's famous
it.
Last words of every psychic. I just hope they knew I was kidding. Right? Yeah. I know they paid $400 for this, but I hope they know I was kidding. What does science have to say about palm reading, or otherwise known as chiromancy? Well, unfortunately, there is no scientific proof behind palm reading, but there are definitely things we can glean from an individual based on their hand's features. Lines on your hands form in the womb after about 12 weeks. There are creases in the skin that allow for more dexterity and make it easier to grab and hold objects. So most people are born with three main lines, which in palmistry are called the headline, the heartline, and the lifeline. Their length, curvature, and consistency are said to describe one's nature, much like celestial bodies do for astrology. For instance, if your heart line is long and curved, this is supposed to indicate that you're unapologetically driven by your passions and desires. Though studies have shown that the thickness, frequency, and prominence of these lines is genetically determined, there's no evidence that they indicate anything about who we are and what will happen to us. One out of 30 people, however, may have one dominant crease instead of three, which may indicate abnormal development and may be a sign of a developmental disorder such as Down syndrome, fetal alcohol syndrome, or Turner syndrome. But palm readers often also look at the shapes of the fingers and fingertips, with each finger apparently representing a different aspect of our personality. For instance, the thumb represents the drive to succeed, while the ring finger is said to denote creativity and self-expression, Whether the digits in question are bent or straight indicates whether or not the corresponding characteristics within us are weak or strong. Which sounds a little far-fetched, but our fingers can actually tell us a little bit about ourselves. Scientists have zeroed in specifically on the ratio between lengths of the index and the ring fingers in what is known as the digital ratio. Turns out this digital ratio is linked to levels of testosterone and estrogen in the body. More specifically, index finger length is positively correlated with estrogen, while ring finger length is correlated with testosterone. This is why females tend to have longer index fingers and higher digit ratios, while males tend to have longer ring fingers and lower digit ratios. In addition, women who are trans were found to have digit ratios more comparable to cis women than cis men. And this has been linked to many things in both men and women. Males with a lower ratio, for instance, were found to be more fertile, more aggressive, and they tended to have higher aptitudes for music and sports, while males with a higher ratio were found to be more at risk for heart disease. Women with a higher ratio, on the other hand, were found to be more fertile, but also more at risk for breast cancer. Interestingly, men and women with schizophrenia were found to have higher digit ratios, while lower digit ratios have been found more often in those with autism. So to summarize, the practice of palm reading has little to no scientific basis, but that's not to say that our hands and fingers can't tell us a little bit about ourselves.
Also, the story I was going to tell is so short, I'm just going to tell it, but we made a video about, like, is astrology real or not? That was, like, supposed to be fun, because obviously I was like, I've had a change of heart, and we'll get to the debate. But I think that it doesn't make sense that celestial objects impact your personality, and I made a science video about it that was on Aesop Thought that was very much like, astrology from a scientific perspective is not real. And then the comments the second we released it were just like, oh my god, Greg's a Libra? Because like I mentioned I was a Libra, like every comment it was like, oh my god, of course Greg's a Libra, like Greg is such a Libra. And I'm like, did no one watch this? And I'm not kidding, like a majority of the comments are about the excitement or the disappointment or like the aha of course moment that I'm a Libra, and the whole plot of it is supposed to be like, this isn't real. Anyways, that was gonna be my story. I'm glad I found out the other one, because that was it.
That's awful. You literally destroyed some kids' lives.
Okay, I'm so
one of them's listening to this right now being like, oh my god, I need to literally change my whole life.
Yeah, like from Mount Everest base camp listening yeah, to this, no! Like, wait, oh my god, I spent all my money on this and I didn't go to university.
One thing I looked up was that, did you know Aries, which I am, and Libra, which you are literally like opposite star signs?
Well, I mean, we've been having some troubles there, Mitchell. Yeah. Maybe we're just not.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Meant to be.
Like, probably. Like, our compatibility is. We'll see. Anyway.
See, that's why I'm glad. Oh, no. Here we go.
We have the debate coming up, right? Are you ready to debate? Are you ready to tear each other down?
I am literally ready to tear it down, because you know what? Thinking that astrology isn't real is homophobic. Let's get
into it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will be having our intense astrology debate.
We just want to take this time to thank you all so much for listening to this podcast and engaging with us online. And we just want to ask you again to make sure you subscribe, make sure you leave a comment and like it wherever you can, however you're listening to your podcast. That really helps with the algorithm so that other people see it. But again, we started this not that long ago. It was a project that we really wanted to do. We're having so much fun with it. We love interacting with you. We love making these podcasts. So we're just thrilled and excited to know that you're actually listening and enjoying them. So essentially, thank you.
Are you ready, Greg? We are about to debate astrology. And the positions will be, Greg, for astrology.
I've had a change of heart. Ignore my...
Mitch, against astrology.
Yeah. Okay.
We can talk. No, I think we need to establish that we have been given these positions, right? So, like, as much
as you are actually fighting for it now.
Okay, that's totally cool.
I have had a change of heart.
I'm just establishing
in a context that you'll see.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Are you ready to start your debate points?
I'm ready.
Okay,
Greg. My voice isn't high because I'm nervous. Nope.
Greg, fighting for astrology. You can start now.
Debate time.
Okay. So I remember someone telling me this fact that they thought that. They were so angry that there was a part of the newspaper that wasn't just science information. Instead, it's astrology, and all these people have gravitated towards, and it's dangerous, and it's so bad. And I really felt this way. I mean, I made a video on YouTube about this. But I've had a change of heart recently after talking to Sal, someone we work with who I respect, who loves astrology, and even Rachel, who I believe is so intelligent and I respect a lot, too. And they've talked to me, and I've had a change of tone.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so... I think that there is too much like resentment against astrology from a very masculine part of science trying to like take away from people's enjoyment of the subject, which I was a part of. And I think people turn to astrology when they are stressed, okay? It has been proven to help people cope. It's a device that helps people cope with the world around them. And I think that that is a good thing because millennials who are really catching on to it, it's definitely trendy, are the most stressed generation.
1 minute.
That we, I'm stressed, that they're the most stressed generation. And therefore, I think that's why they're gravitating towards it. Like, religion's not something that we really care about that much anymore. It's also a very damaging thing. That I think astrology is like an interesting place to come in and allow people to feel connected to something that isn't doing that much damage. Okay. Spirituality is positive for your mental health. And I do believe that it is spiritual. The universe was created 13.8 billion years ago. That is such a scary thought. We're only on this planet for 80 years. How can we reckon with that? Astrology is just a fun way to help us try and feel some sort of purpose in this like insane shithole that is the earth and the patriarchy that we are underneath. So I also do feel like Western science is something that we all try and say is right, you know,
10 seconds.
But it is completely biased. It's always been controlled by a specific fundamental framework that
Five.
Works, but is rife with bias. And I think that astrology being put down by it all the time is unfair.
Time. Good job. Okay. Interesting perspective.
Ooh, is he shaking in his boots?
She's shaking, girl. I literally am drinking out of a cup that has the Aries star.
Oh my God. And when we got these cups given to us because we did a talk, we were like, they don't know us because we. They thought it was science-y because of the stars.
But I like that it is a constellation.
But
it's
I'm too embarrassed to bring that anywhere.
It doesn't have to be about. Does it? If it's Aries, could that not just be a constellation? And I don't know.
Wow, sounds like someone's into astrology.
Okay, are you going to time me or what, girl?
I'm going to time you, girl. Okay. 3, 2, 1, vamos.
Okay, so I had to like look up a lot about my horoscope for this. So it turns out that Aries, a.k.a. the Ram, a.k.a. Mars or fire or whatever the hell, we apparently never do something just because others do. And so that's what I'm going to do right now is go against this hipster grain and tell you why astrology is trash. So are we really going to look to the stars and pretend their position has some magical effect that has literally never been measured in the history of time? Like, I can forgive people thousands of years ago who believed in this crap, but you've had like thousands of years to just put like a single study to show that it is actually accurate. Give me 1 ounce of proof. Like, it's too bad there's not a form of science where we actually study the stars. Oh wait, it's called astronomy, and there's literally thousands of papers that look into how the stars actually impact the Earth's body. and our bodies on Earth. So there is actually some evidence that the season you're born can affect your gene expression, but there's zero quantitative evidence for star alignment affecting you as a human. But Mitch, maybe science just doesn't know yet. Fine, but stop acting like it's the gospel and that if science doesn't know, you somehow have all the answers of exactly how your day and year and month affect your body and everyone else around you. It reminds me a lot of like seeing aliens and believing in miracles. Interesting how there's no proof for those either, even though so many people talk about them. And why would you want your future to be determined? Like, I mean, don't you want it to be in your control? And I swear to God, if you say that's because I'm an Aries, like, get over yourself. There's also something called the Barnum effect, where people take general statements and apply them to themselves, but not recognizing it's a general statement. Finally, there's something called cognitive bias, or subject validation. So once you make it personal, you're more likely to think it's factual. At the end of the day, I think astrology is exploitative in nature and just part of the capitalist society preying on people's hopes and fears, and that's why astrology is trash.
Wow, a little bit of capitalism to a little extra salt and pepper capitalism. Okay.
Yeah, yes,
okay.
Girl, you seem to care
Western
so much.
Western science is quite capitalist, I must say myself.
Well, that's a straw man argument because that has nothing to do with what I was saying.
Can we end this now? I don't want to keep going. I'm scared.
I have one other thing I want to read because I didn't have time to in my debate, but...
Oh, wow. Is it 2 minutes or is it 2 minutes and 30 seconds?
Well,
what's going on here?
Let's talk. I'll try to splice it in casually.
Go. The people need to know.
Okay. Across several centuries of testing, the predictions of astrology have never been more accurate than expected by chance alone. One of the more renowned examples is the double-blind chart-matching test conducted by Sean Carlson. So they took 28 astrologers and were tasked with matching over 100 natal charts with the people's corresponding psychological profiles, and they were unable to perform any better using astrology than if they had matched the charts and profiles at random. So that's the biggest test that's ever been done on astrology.
Sorry, those words were too big. Literally, what? I'm kidding.
It doesn't work is basically what I'm saying. I can feel you that it's, I don't think we have to like demonize it, but it's unfortunate. Like the thing you talked about, like in newspapers, there's a section for astrology in every newspaper, but there's not for astronomy. I just think that's sad. Like it doesn't mean it's necessarily doing harm.
I'm so mad I brought that up because I totally agree.
Yeah, because it is just like, well, why don't we have a science section that like actually teaches us about something real that has proof behind it? Like,
well, I went on this app called CoStar, and I looked at my sign, and I don't know, kind of accurate.
No, it's true. I actually, like, before this, I went on, like, an internet website just to see an internet website.
People always read me yours, and I'm like, that's Mitch.
I know. I read mine and was literally like, whoa. And then I stopped and thought about, like, am I just generalizing? And I pretended it was yours, and I was like, does not work. And then I looked at Libra, but yours worked for half of it. But then the second half, I was like, this does feel general. Like,
I know.
Maybe.
I really, when I do read horoscopes, when it doesn't work, you just forget it. It is confirmation bias. Like, when you read the things that, like, hit you, and you remember, or they have to do with you,
right?
Stick with you.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of how we only really, like, really, we really focus on negative comments.
Yeah, and that's kind of like confirmation. Is that confirmation bias?
Yeah,
it's called
yeah.
When you're like driving and you see like all the cars going faster than you, but it's because you don't actually look at the cars behind, like the ones that you're passing. You don't keep track of. You only keep track of the ones that you see going further ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like this. Yeah, I feel that when people read horoscopes, I love, like, going and testing people, and I did this once to you like a little while ago where I read your horoscope, but I was actually reading mine to see if you were like, that's so me, but then you actually were like, no, that's not me at all.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it didn't work. But in general, they've done tests where people will all have the exact same test or the exact same like readings, and then they'll be like, who thought theirs like matched with them, and then most people put their hands up, and then they all have the exact same one.
Okay, so one thing I would say is that positivity and like having a positive outlook on things is really important, and it actually can physiologically like change / help your body do things that if people are using it to be positive, I think that there is a way that it could really help them. And I also think when it comes to astrology,
but how do you know that there's not negative impacts? Because people
I want to go
like in my mind, like people could use that argument for other forms of beliefs that also have negative impacts in the world. Like religion's a perfect example. It does a lot of bad in this world, but it also does good. And so people justify the bad by saying oh, but look, like, it does make people happy. It does. Some people, like, who are religious, give more to charity. But to me, I'm like, yeah, but I just don't think it justifies, like, the absolute hatred that religion also causes in this world.
Okay, well, I was hanging out with some of my queer comic friends recently, and they said that, like, astrology is very big in the queer community. I didn't know this, but that's why I think that if you're against it, you're homophobic.
Well, maybe, okay, what might be true is that it provides an alternative for people who are marginalized to, like, be part of a different community that's kind of mystical and brings them, like, their own self-worth
and power.
What you
said, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
No, okay, like, I don't want
to... I love how I feel like if I just sit here quietly, eventually you're going to talk yourself into...
Because I'm actually the one who probably believes in
because
it more.
Because also, we used to do tarot... You used to do tarot readings... I would go in and you and our roommate would do them and I'd be like, this is so stupid. And you got in many fights with me, be like, Greg, you're no fun. You know what? You're also not spiritual. Like, you would get mad at me because I'd be like, this is such a waste of time. I'd rather watch a TV show or read a book. Like, what are you doing? And you got mad at me. So I'm like, you have it in you.
Because it is fun. Like, I love playing, like, Ouija board. Like, when I was younger, I used to, like, always love playing Ouija board.
And your family
stuff.
Loves psychics. It's in your blood.
Yeah, it's in my blood, but... Okay, I have no problem with people if they can objectively say, like, oh, no, it allows me to, like, think about my life and to reflect on things and be aware. But I just hate, like, the determinism from it, like that you are what these things say you are and that your future, like, oh, this month something's in retrograde, Mars or Venus or whatever, and I'm going to have a bad
month. Let me guess, your computer stopped working.
Like, possibly, but, like, that's probably random chance if we actually studied it. And it sucks because, you know, the mind games can't, like, the placebo effect is powerful, and if someone thinks that they're in a rough patch because a horoscope says so, that could also negatively impact them just as much as it could positively if they're being told, like, you're going to have a great month. So... I don't know. I think I agree that, like, the science space has and is especially, like, masculine, hetero, whatever.
And there's a weird, again, I'm taking this all from a conversation I had once, and Rachel brought up an interesting point, because I think she's, like us, very interested in science. But also, she said that the time of the year that you're born could maybe have a really interesting impact from, like, an environment perspective.
Okay, but I don't have a problem. Like, that is, and I even said that in my argument. Like, it can't, the time of the year you're born affects gene expression. And we see, like, certain animals are born at certain times, whatever. That could be true. But what bothers me is that then people, like, say,
then
it
say
could
that.
Do this.
Don't say that it
but
has
it, like,
to do
with. Stop pretending you know the result it has, right? Like, there's literally websites that are, okay, it's one thing to say, look, we know the moon has an impact on the earth. It literally creates the tides, and it does so much. Because I saw this tweeted once. Why do you think the moon can't have an effect on our bodies? And it's like, it might. Like, no one is saying that it's not possible. I'm not saying the stars couldn't have an impact on us. Just stop pretending you know what that is. Like, if you can't do a study and show me that with any evidence that you can accurately or predictably, like, call the right answers, then stop arguing for it.
I literally can't say anything because I'm just wanting to, like, get in on it. And I think it's, like, I do think it's true. Like, I think one thing is that science is so beautiful. Science is a story. Science is a field of research that is, like, the most beautiful spiritual thing in many ways, that it's too bad that it can't have the same impact that astrology does. Because I really do see that astrology is such a trendy thing right now. And the only thing, and this is on your point, this is not doing astrology, that gets me so disappointed is I'm like, imagine there was this, like, weird trendy movement around science. Like, it's just like, that's what, and I don't think they have to be antitheses of each other, but there is, like, this weird, like, unscientific aspect of it where I'm just like, there is something so beautiful about science that it's like, because it has to do with stars and do with these things that we look at with telescopes and through the lens of science, it's just, like, disappointing to me when I'm like, oh yeah, but this actually comes back to not
how science can give you those kind of predictions too. Like, we're listening to this audiobook about time and how different times of the day, how much it impacts the things that you'll be better at, even if it's just a few percentage points. Like,
I'm going back onto my sign now.
I'm just saying science can provide, maybe not, but I think it's because astrology provides, like, magical overestimations of things, that's why it's more attractive. Like, science can't tell you where you'll be over the course of the next month, right? Nothing really can, and that's why these kind of things people really gravitate towards, because no one can tell them that, but somehow this magical field can.
Okay, so one thing I'm going to say, again, back with my hat on in defense of astrology, and it really made me think when you brought up this book, Science, though, as well, predominantly dominated by straight men, really does, Jordan Peterson's a great example, get spun around to be spoken in absolutes that people take. Even that book that we're reading about time, I have enough of like a critical brain and spend my whole life reading science that there's a lot of things that this man says that I'm like, oh God, grain of salt with that sentence, because there's so many other variables. But they're trying to make an exciting science book that changes your life. And I don't think that people are as critical of this book called The Science of Time than they are of astrology within the science community. When there are...
I don't think that's a fair comparison. I think I do
agree.
But
think about it. Think of the times that he says things based on a study that is extrapolated so much. And I've been reading a lot about it.
Right, but at least it's based maybe on one study instead of none.
But that's even more dangerous because people are still leaving with like this word of science in front of it, which is why in ASAP Science videos, we always try and explain the study and what it explained. Because if we just say this is what science says, then that's when you start to get into the same realm of astrology. And reading this recent book about the impact of genetics and environment and how they work together in this like complex way that we can't really understand. It's so confusing that I'm like, there are so many studies out there that pop science takes and says that are so inaccurate that it's on the same brand as astrology in some ways, except it's under the guise of science.
I can get behind that. Like a lot of science is spun for personal gain or just to have a narrative that like matches up with people's preconceived
notions.
And I
think a lot of people in science have a lot of fun making fun of astrology because it's so obvious to them that it's not real. But there's so much like maybe even more dangerous science that they're like taking in as real that's just as not actually accurate.
I feel like half of the time I get on this podcast, I'm talking about the patriarchy. I'm like a walking feminist meme. I know this, but I have to talk about the patriarchy because it literally impacts almost all dimensions of our society, including science. Let's go back to 1820 when people started studying phrenology. Phrenology was the study of human personality and human nature based on the measurements of your skull. Phrenologists believed that the shape of our heads was indicative of our temperament, and by taking measurements, they could tell if someone had criminal tendencies, high intelligence, or if they were more submissive. So today, this is completely debunked pseudomedicine, like 100% garbage. But in the 19th century, it held a lot of power and was considered a legitimate science. Phrenology's dark history includes using it to support racist and sexist stereotypes, and it is even linked to Nazi eugenics. For example, phrenologists claim that women had heads that were larger in the back and therefore had underdeveloped organs, making them incapable of success in art and science. This was used as a justification to exclude women from participating in politics and voting. Just reminding you again, there is currently no support for this. And today, yeah, scientists reject these notions, but it kind of makes you wonder how researchers will look back at us in 200 years and laugh at the sexist ideas we perpetuated through pseudoscience and things that we thought we knew. Today, sexism in science is a bit more nuanced, but it often involves the exclusion of women as subjects of research. There have been so many instances when I go to research an ASAP Science video where we don't end up including how something physiologically affects women because the research doesn't exist. Researchers are beginning to acknowledge this too. In fact, the Heart and Stroke Foundation's latest ad states that women are under-researched, underdiagnosed, and over-dying. Women's heart disease tends to appear in the smaller blood vessels of the heart rather than the major coronary arteries. This means that their symptoms might not fit the classic textbook picture of a heart disease. Classic heart attack that men experience is crushing pain on their chest, but women are more likely to experience chest discomfort, shortness of breath, fatigue, indigestion, nausea, or back and neck pain. Angiograms are not effective at diagnosing the types of heart attacks women are more likely to have. Stress tests also are less sensitive for women. On a personal level, this breaks my heart. A woman I love deeply had an angiogram only days before she had a heart attack, and her results came back perfect. It makes me so sad and angry that these tests couldn't have helped diagnose her and prevented her heart attack. I am, however, optimistic that things are shifting. As more women are entering STEM fields, and more women are demanding the care that is our right.
The argument that I would have back to that is like, let's not just believe in astrology because science has flaws.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there are definitely flaws in the science, like, community, in the scientific process. Like, in a lot of ways, science is troubled and it is really homogenous, and people think they can use it and don't realize how complex so many things are. Like, stop pretending you know the answer. But that isn't a good enough reason for me to believe in astrology and support it when we can say, like, but there just isn't really evidence for it.
Well, my
I would say, okay, go ahead.
I was just gonna say my gas tank's empty. I don't have anything else.
Well, this is kind of to your point.
Okay,
and you brought up Jordan Peterson, which I saw someone discussing him recently and how, like, secularism in the science world hasn't provided, like, a meaning to life for a lot of people, which, like, religion has in the past. Like, people have feel like they have purpose, but we're entering into a world of information and people being like, I believe in science, but they're maybe feeling a little bit left behind in terms of, like, what is the purpose of life? And so I think that's, like, you brought up Jordan Peterson and science in the same sentence, which doesn't really make sense because he's actually, like, really religious.
He uses science.
I know, but then his followers are also people who are, like, looking for something more than that.
But
I think
my
astrology
point is that he uses science in
that
a damaging
void. Like, astrology gives you a sense of belonging. It gives you a sense of order. And science tries to do that, but it can't do that in a big way.
I know you have to be so comfortable with disorder and chaos and not knowing everything to be interested in science. It's true. And that's why I think it's so
beautiful
about it.
It's really hard. Yeah. And it's kind of like if you go to therapy and it's like sometimes it's not about fixing things. It's about accepting that things are not, like, sometimes they're really shitty and sometimes they're really good.
Oh my God.
And science is kind of like that too, where it's like, it sometimes hurts to be like, the truth isn't just this beautiful thing that makes sense. It's actually like a huge mess huge variation of things that have no real meaning.
And we don't know why things, we might know that something happens, but we don't know why it happens. Like, that happens all the time in science, where, like, we know that this is the result of, like, cell replication, but we don't really know how.
Like, we don't know why people sleep. We literally, like, the thing we do for, like, 8 hours to 12 hours
a day. We don't
know
why.
No. Oh. Sleep scientists literally have no idea why any mammal sleeps. It's like, why would it be useful to fall asleep for 10 hours? You're so vulnerable. Obviously, it's so important they know reasons that things that it helps, but it's like, why would it not have evolved away?
Because you're so,
when we do find answers,
there's
even
a reason
they might
for
not
that.
Be,
we just don't know it.
But yeah, I'm just like on the fence of letting people have their autonomy to believe what they want and follow the passions that they want, but then also being like, I don't know, like, we don't know the negative consequence of believing things that we can kind of show are actually false. And it kind of finally brings me back to my capitalistic point. I think it takes advantage of people. Not everyone. I do believe there are probably psychics and palm readers who are genuinely believe themselves that they are, like,
but
they
the
have a skill.
But the first thing the psychic said to you was, how do you have money?
Yeah, and I don't blame that person. I was, like, a drunk person in the middle of the
night. Don't go to the psychic on college. Uh-oh.
But I'm sure there's lots. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it's a huge industry. And, of course, there's going to be people who take advantage of the fact that they can sell you snake oil.
And when I found out recently that the price of a psychic, when you told me, like, what your sister and mom pay, it's like $100
an
hour.
Well, I made that up. I think that is probably what you, $100. Yeah, I just assume.
Either way, it's probably enough money that I am like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's like, go get a massage, okay? Like, from a friggin', like, established professional who literally went to school for their job.
I'm like, should we do a debate on that? No, okay. That I'm at a steam. I feel like you have some really good points. I think this is such a contentious issue, and it is really so popular. Like, nothing I've seen before. And, like, the circles in comedy, for example, so many jokes are now about astrology because so many people believe it. It's really interesting. People our age have gravitated towards it, and I think it really, you're maybe onto something. It's a spiritual way of trying to understand the world, even though
Like it's an it's like when the best science communication is taught to you. Like astrology is like it finds a way to connect.
We need to
teach
how
you.
Do we
how
like,
do we do that?
I'm like
science?
I want to be a better science communicator. It's so hard.
It's so hard. It's so hard when you can't say like I have literally every answer to every question in your life.
But we're like, but you have to be okay with not knowing the whatever.
Be okay with being depressed and not having any answers.
Next week you won't even.
I want to know people listening because we have a relatively like science filled audience.
Do any of them believe in astrology?
Yes. Do you guys believe, guys and girls and non-identifying people, do you believe in astrology?
Okay, so hashtag side note podcast. Let us know. We read all of those. Tag us on Instagram in your stories.
Yes,
let us know.
Share them. Maybe we can like share a clip of someone in here.
Please
give tweet
me
or a
some
clip or whatever.
Defensive
you
astrology.
Might, yeah, you might. I want to hear those arguments. They don't have to necessarily be scientific, but the way Greg was like, well, an appeal to the emotional side of it is also equally valid, I think.
I'm emotional.
You just need some support.
I listen to Taking Back Sunday every day.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to tweet us or tag us on Instagram. Did I just have an aneurysm? at Mitchell Moffitt and at Whale Watch Me PLZ. Otherwise,
you'll hear from us next week.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.